You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Welcome on a Wednesday. Yeah, seems like Tuesday, but tomorrow's Thursday. That means the week's almost done. Yeah, the backside of the three-day weekend, not a bad deal. Short week, then you're a couple days off again. So, good morning to you. Special day here on All Marine Radio. And, you know, a day with the... I don't even know how to describe it. You'll hear an interview with my older sister, Peggy. You've heard me talk about her, the toughest person I know. And so in preparing to do that, you know, in writing about a little bit for, you know, what'll go up on the website and getting pictures to go with the story, you know, you go back down memory lane, you know, things that you haven't thought about in, I'd like to say years, but probably not years, but in a long time. And, it's, the story that you'll hear from my sister is one of the most, horrible stories I've ever heard in my life, let alone been a part of. And that includes two trips to Iraq, one to Afghanistan, and some other not very pleasant stuff. All of that, and to include my friends, none of us have, you know, been a part of anything like Peggy was a part of. And so in kind of preparing that, the interview I did a week ago today. I don't know, that was still yesterday when I started writing about it and looking for pictures and going through stuff all the different things that happen come back to you. You know, and the other part of it was, at the time, my dad was the manager of the, they're now called the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, but at the time they were the California Angels, right? So, not only did this happen, but it makes national headlines as ESPN covers it. And at the time, our kids were 9, 6, and 3. And, you know, when it first happened, you know, I remember talking with my ex-wife Susan and saying, well, we don't have to tell the kids. You know, we have time. And her brother called her after he had heard it. And she said, how did you hear about it? And he said it was on ESPN. And with that, she called me and she said, just so you know, it's been on ESPN. And John had hockey practice that night. And she said, we're going to have to tell them. And I said, okay. And so all these things that happen to you, and not only happen to you, but then, you know, your children have to deal with it. And, as that ripples through your family. It would have been years later. And I don't know how many years later, maybe one or two at the most, that I was in Sacramento for an event that honored my father. So I took John and Patrick. I thought it'd be cool for them to see that because they weren't around for much of his career. So, took them. And I'll tell these stories a little bit more depth later. Just kind of the road you go down in this kind of stuff, you know, life which, you know, with all families affected by trauma. So we stayed at my sister's house. It wasn't the house that, you know, these events happened at. It was a different house. So, but she got stuff with her kids all over the place, right? And so, my kids are running around playing and having a good time and hanging out with their aunt and blah, 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 blah. But you can tell, as I watched them playing, that, as they would go by pictures, they would stop and look, right? They were playing with their toys that my sister had kept, right? So the house, you walked in the house and you would expect to see two little kids come rolling out. Because of the toys and all the stuff she had that was there. And so as they were playing, you know, you could just see them linger on certain things. And I watched them, right? They're your kids, right? You watch them. Even a dad doesn't watch them like a mom, but even a dad watches them. And so my younger son, Patrick, the lieutenant, he said to me, or no, I take that back. I'm not sure. It's been so long. It's probably been 20 years. I don't remember which one of my sons said to me, could we go to the cemetery? And I said, sure. And so I'll tell you that story about going to the cemetery with your sons for the first time, for God's sake. And yeah, both still under the age of 10 to go visit their cousins. So the last 12 hours, been, you know, you go back to, you know, the events of, you know, this horrific event when my sister's husband, she told him that she was leaving him, and you'll hear her tell it, but he then went and got a pistol, and he shot both boys, and he beat my sister, then shot both boys, and then committed suicide all in front of her. And so the story that you will hear from today is her life as she's dealt with trauma over the course of the last, it'll be 22 years next month. And things like alcohol, things like suicide. Why didn't you kill yourself? Because, I mean, suicide becomes a rational act when the pain is simply too great, right? I can't do this anymore. I still to this day can't imagine the kind of pain my sister lives with today, has lived with every day. So we talk about those kind of things. And we talk about guilt, essentially, you know, what I could have done, what I should have done, why didn't I do those things, all that stuff. So kind of a special morning here on All Marine Radio. But it's surrounded by, you know, every cloud. Well, I shouldn't say that because it's bullshit. Some clouds don't have silver linings. But the good is that after 22 years, she's ready to talk about it. Okay. The other things that you'll hear her talk about, she talks about hope. What gave her hope? And what gave her hope was somebody who had already been through what she had been through. Wrote her a letter on binder paper and sent it to her. And so you'll hear her talk about that. And very much in keeping with some of the stuff we talked about, you know, the role that veterans can play in a community. And, you know, I think most of us would be surprised with the amount of trauma that's out there. But we've lived in a world that trauma is a regular experience. We've lived in a world that's not afraid to talk about it. Even now, the mental health part of it, we're not afraid to talk about. Most civilians don't come from a world anywhere close to that. And we have a lot of experience in dealing with it, sadly, but it's a fact of life. So in my humble opinion, you know, we're uniquely suited to help others. But the caveat to all that is you got to get your shit in one sock before you can help somebody. I think I read over the weekend that in reading some of the stuff that Boulder Crest puts out, they have a book called Fighting Well, Struggle Well. And it came out, I want to say, in the last 6 months. But you should check it out. There's some really good stuff in there, written by Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg. But one of the things that they say in there is, you know, wounded people wound other people. So you gotta take care of your wounds. You gotta care for your wounds, and before you go into the community and help other people, so you don't, you know, the admonition from General Mattis in the 1st Marine Division is, first do no harm. First do no harm. So, good morning to you. Those stories we'll talk about today. And, it'll be 22 years. And she's never spoken about it before. And we have rarely spoken about it. And when we've spoken about it, it's only been it's never about the events of that day. It's mostly been about suicide. So for me, it was a first too, in a lot of different ways. So you'll hear that interview at 8 o'clock this morning. So, if you're listening and you know anybody who lives with trauma, who deals with trauma on a regular basis, shoot them an email, tell them to flip on All Marine Radio, and you can listen to it live. If not, you can go ahead and send them the link, right after the show. It'll go up. But I would tell you, it's an interview that, like, you've never heard before, even doing it. And I would tell you this, doing it was not, most of the time, you know, you sit here and you interview people and you focus on what they say and you have a conversation with them. I would liken this to trying to give a eulogy at a funeral, if you've ever done that. And you're talking about somebody who you were very close with, who had a huge impact on your life, and you probably had an impact on theirs. The fact that they're dead is not easy. And then you begin, in the eulogy, you begin to talk about them as a person and the things you did together and how they impacted your life. All those set off movies in your head. And you're trying to, and that's why this, that, you know, that's why funeral speaking is tough. You're trying to be articulate and say the things you need to say. But at the same time as you're doing that, these events are exploding into your head. And the videos of these events go rolling, the images go rolling through your head. And so it takes, so that, and that was my experience with this. You know, I'm trying to, I mean, the first time in 22 years that she'll ever talk about it. And the lessons that, that are there for us, for people that, that deal with trauma on a regular basis, are profound. And to, and making sure that you did it right and making sure that, you know, that it flows. And because I'm not a big guy who goes back and edits interviews, in case you can't tell. You know, I like them to exist, warts and all. And so trying to diminish the number of warts there were and trying to do it right, you know, all to me important things. But not easy, because as she's telling these things, I'm remembering them, and you know, because we lived through it. So yeah, you'll get to meet my sister Peggy today, which I'm happy about. And but this idea of and she and I have talked before about her coming on my programs, whether I was doing them in North Dakota or doing them here on All Marine Radio, because I've been doing radio since the year 2000. And so, except when I was gone. But the reason 2 weeks ago when I called her to do it, that I pushed her, and I didn't push her that hard. I just said, hey, we have to do it, was that as we have broadened the lens here on All Marine Radio, and All Marine Radio initially designed and focused on helping, I should get Sebastian Younger on because I can hear him in my head right now. We're helping our own tribe. We're helping Marines, veterans, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guardsmen, but we're helping. But we talk about our culture, and in the effort to get people to listen, and then, you know, and then we sew in the content of post-combat related mental health, the gospel of All Marine Radio, as it is. And oh, by the way, you can find the gospel of All Marine Radio on the website. If you go to the the blog page or the read board page, you will see the gospel in its glory. Go to either page, click more, read more, okay? And then once you get to the page, you'll see a larger image. Click on that, and it'll take you to an even larger image that you can read, and the gospel of All Marine Radio. And then there's also a second slide, and it's entitled The Mental Health Path of a Warrior. And you'll see kind of four pieces. Only two of the four are in place. Right? Three is out there, but you got to go find it. And four, we haven't done a great job extolling number four, but I think three and four are absolute critical pieces to come home. And I say to come home with all the emotion that's wrapped into coming home. To coming home, being full up round and being the same kind of person that you were in the military, being that kind of person in your community. So anyway, so those are up there today. And then normally I don't do this, but I did it today. If you go to the podcast page, the podcast concerning this interview is already posted. There's no audio with it, obviously, because I haven't played it, and you'll hear the whole thing in its entirety and whatnot. But if you click on that, you'll see pictures of my sister and her two sons, Tori and Tyler, You'll see pictures of us all. Well, my sister's not in the picture, but her boys are. Her boys, my boys, and me at a wedding. And then you'll see a few more pictures of them. So that's what we're doing this morning. And we'll take news headlines here. But yeah, it's been the last 12 hours of remembering this brings back just how brutal trauma can be. And this is, again, this is an acute form of it. Lesser forms have equal impact on families all across the country. And and that's what we found, and the motivation of bringing Peggy here. Since we've broadened the lens, right, and since we've begun to preach the gospel of All Marine Radio relative to coexisting with trauma, PTSD, we've had these incredible experiences where, whether it's the gunner or F-18 man or me, we cross people and we touch their lives because they don't hear this kind of stuff. And the impact on us is intoxicating, literally intoxicating. And so as those events happened, my thoughts went to my sister, right? And I thought, you know, Peggy needs to experience this. She needs to experience what it is to touch somebody's life and how that makes you feel. Because she's only experienced the misery. So that was in my head. So, you know, kind of the way All Marine Radio has morphed a little bit and impacted me, certainly. And then quite quickly it impacted my thoughts about my sister and that she needs to feel this. And so I approached her and she said, okay. She said, when do you want to do it? I said, we'll do it next week. And she said, okay. And I said, but, you know, 50-50, she would back out of it. I didn't know if she would actually do it. But I told her, I said, no, you really need to do this. And the people that you'll touch and their responses will blow you away. And so she said, okay. She said, well, send me the questions. I said, I don't do that. I haven't done that for the Commandant of the Marine Corps, and I sure as hell am not going to do that for you. So she said, you make me nervous. I said, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. It'll be good, I promise you. So the interview that you'll hear is, there's no script to it. There's nothing we talked about. The only thing the only seed I planted right before the interview was, hey, make sure you have I know you've thought about it, but the only question I'll tell you is, you know, towards the end, we'll talk about what advice would you give? And she said, no. She said, I've thought about that. And I said, okay. So the interview you hear is things that we've never talked about, with a few exceptions, and 22 years later. And I'm really proud of, it's rough, just so you know. It's not an easy interview to listen to, just as it wasn't an easy interview to do. So I won't blame you if you have to shut it off and then come back to it later. But my sister does great. I don't know, you know, had I gone through, you can't even fathom losing your only two children like that. You know, it's not fathomable. I think I just made up a word, but it's unfathomable. I know that's the word, but as a parent to think of that. And so then when you hear it in her own voice, so that's what we're doing today. The other thing I would tell you is anybody that you know that lives with trauma, you should send this link to, right? You should send this link to. Because it is pregnant with lessons in terms of hope, in terms of coexisting, in terms of guilt, all of those things. This interview is pregnant with them. So, United States Marine Corps ban makes today official. We will check the news headlines. Good morning to you. I'll tell you where that comes from. That, like, repeat the same song over. There's a story to that. Listening to old Peyton Davis. Yeah, this song. Yeah, last night while I was working. I'll tell you what this song, you know, for those of you who don't know, Peyton came on the program, F-18 guys, his niece. Her father committed suicide. She took the police to his apartment, stood outside while they went in and found his body. So, Peyton got a little junk in her trunk. But when I hear her, when I hear this voice, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of winning, right? Of coexisting. I didn't even know that I'd pay attention to the words. Just her voice. But I know it's just me. And she's obviously got a beautiful voice. So as I was working last night, I had that on loop, right? I don't know, there's about four songs that she has out. You can find them on iTunes. You can find them on Google Play. Don't be afraid to tee those things up. But yeah, there was a story behind that little thing that just happened. This is dedicated to three people. Certainly to my older sister, Peggy, and to my nephews, who would be 26 and 28 this year, Tori and Tyler.
We are proud to play the side of the United States of America. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather around Marineland. We'll check some news, and then at the top of the hour, you'll hear from my big sister, Peggy. Peggy Good Dancer. No kidding. she could dance. She can dance. Sunny, 85 degrees. In Quantico, Virginia, where they're having some heat, it's cooling off a little bit. Mostly cloudy and 85 degrees at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Clouds in 79 in Granbury, Texas. Listen to this. Sunny and 48 in Montana. Holy smokes, it's cooling off. Sun and 75. It's not supposed to cool off yet, though. That's kind of weird. You know, 50-50 shot, you'll see record temperatures, right, this time of the late summer. Sunny and 75 in 29 Palm, so it'll be a nice day out there. Clouds and 70 at Camp Pendleton. Cloudy dark and 82 in Okinawa. Clear and 84 degrees in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. So they've cooled off tremendously. 84 degrees? Are you kidding me? Yeah, congratulations to everybody over there. And currently, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it's cloudy and 69. Looking for a high of 78 beautiful degrees today. 78 tomorrow and 82 on Friday. We will take that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. All Marine Radio continues. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
Alone in the crowd.
I'm good.
And I can't
sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope you made. Of this heartbreak.
Yeah, I don't even think I hear the lyrics, even though I've learned some of them. When I hear her sing, I know, right? I know the story. And the cool part is, I sent her the interview with my sister, and I called her and I said, hey, I want you to listen to this. Because as an entertainer, you have the capacity to touch others, to help people. So that's what I hear. I don't like the words. Like, what do they mean? I'm not even sure. Winning. I hear winning when I hear her voice.
Without any questions.
And winning in a shitty game. a game that's rough and that it's really important to win on. So, yeah, Peyton Davis. There you go. You can find the music. And just kind of a programming note, after the interview that you'll hear with my sister, don't touch that dial. Because there's, I will tell you, as difficult as the interview is to listen to, you can imagine the events that surrounded that were awful. And I'll walk you through a few of them, right? How do you tell your kids that their nephews have been murdered? And you can't tell them that they died. You have to tell them the truth because it's on TV. And other kids and their parents are going to see it. And if you don't tell them the truth, well, you don't want your kid to get blindsided by it, right? At hockey practice or at school. How do you do that? And that was one of the first things, right? As effort that we were confronted with in a matter of hours. And then a whole series of events. Things that happened at the funeral home, right? Things that happened at the funeral, right? People that were kind and touched your life. And then, as I said, taking your sons to the cemetery for the first time. And so I got an email yesterday from Luke's mom, the one and only Libby. And Libby always encourages me. And Libby's been one of the people that opened my eyes in terms of the wider impact of what we did just inside of our own tribe, right? Which would be Marines and veterans, right? Marines enacted, you know, anybody who's in the military, which is, you know, our tribe. But Libby opened my eyes up like, you don't understand, you know, the impact you've had on my life by helping my son. There's nothing that consumed me more, you know, as his mother than watching him and what he was fighting. And by impacting him, you've impacted all of us. And so Libby sent me an awesome email yesterday, and I'll read it to you. It's a series of, and it is about the interview yesterday with Alex Hollings. And so her first email went like this. I always look forward to Alex coming on. I must admit I thought, whoa, exclamation mark. When he talked about drinking and dealing with trauma, I was saying, no, 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 exclamation mark. Projecting my experience of Luke's drinking into his experience of dealing with it. What an eye opener. I thought, you can't do that. But when he explained his experience with it, it made sense for him. A really interesting conversation. In the conversation yesterday, you know, he talks about, you know, going to a therapist and therapist saying, hey, you've got to stop drinking. And he said, I clicked him off right then. And I said, well, it's the truth. And so, you know, you hear a guy, and Alex, tough guy, he's a rugged guy, and, right, you hear, I'm not going to stop drinking. Okay. Well, just know this. If when you drink, that punches in the combination to the cipher lock that keeps the gorillas locked in the cage, those gorillas don't only stomp your life. They stomp your family's life. They stomp your children's life. They stomp your friend's life. If you can't dial back your drinking, and like Luke said that he would do, which was, I'll have one or two, are you capable of that? Or does one or two turn into 12 or 15? And so it's an interesting back and forth between Alex and I. Okay? Then, you know, you'll get to be the first one that's ever included alcohol in the effective treatment of trauma and PTSD. So stay on that, bro. So I wrote Libby back. I said, I told him that. Us disagreeing was very interesting. But he has to know that if he unleashes the gorillas and they get into other people's lives, he's got to stop. Or it will destroy his life. And then I write, Libby, we're helping so many people that never went near the Marine Corps. It's awesome. And then she wrote this back, which is the reason I read it. I told you, it's a tsunami. And yes, you are. I'm one of them. When you help them, you help those who love them. And so what you're going to hear today is in that vein. It's in that vein. But I will tell you this. So don't, after the interview ends, it'll be about 9:20 when it finishes. If it starts at around between 8 and 8:05, which it will. Don't touch that dial, because I want to walk you through some things that happened in these events. To just give you a snapshot of the trauma that gets inflicted, not just onto my sister, but into, you know, our greater family, as a family deals with tragedy, and a family doesn't deal with it by one person dealing with it. And so I think you'll find that interesting, and hopefully it helps. So to the news we go. First of all, again, I made the comment yesterday, but I'll make the comment again. John McCain's body, the dirt isn't even settled. The dirt isn't even settled on his grave, right? His last speech on the floor of the Senate for them to behave better echoes, right? I played it last week, I think. And the display yesterday, just unbelievable. That's the United States Senate. And the only thing you see is people posturing to run for president, right? You see people posturing for re-election. And the truth and civility that Senator McCain argued for was nowhere near that room. I think it's pathetic. Right? I mean, to the point where his wife took his two daughters out of the room at one point. So again, if you're following that, it's in my opinion, it's what's disgusting about the people that are elected and sit in the highest legislative office in the land, the United States Senate. It's absolutely gross yesterday. So anyway, but you know what? I guess that's all part of it. We'll all endure that, and then I'll vote. And he'll be confirmed. And so I don't even want to get going on that. So again, don't listen. Don't stop. Don't flick it off at 9:20, whatever, when the interview ends. Marines want electroshock rounds to fire from standard weapons. This is news today. So it must be a slow news day, right? We're going through procurement stuff. Marines have dazzling laser lights to wave off unwanted intruders at checkpoints and close-range police-style tasers for crowd control. But what about when a Marine needs to reach out and shock somebody? A new notice posted on the Department of Defense Small Business Innovation Research website shows that the Marines are looking for a taser round that can be fired from conventional weapons, such as 9mm pistols, 12-gauge shotguns, or even 40mm grenade launchers, first reported by the National Interest. How about that? Going to be space age, people. Going to be space age. Get the electroshock rounds. Whoa. What just happened? Oh, wrong round, Gunny. Oh, shit. I can imagine when that happens. This story has been, the lieutenant said, hey, have you seen this story? And I said, yeah. I had seen it when it happened. He said, well, take a look at it again. Headline, lawyer for homeless Marine veteran says $400,000 in donations is all gone. The lawyer for a homeless man in Philadelphia whose selflessness led to donations of over $400,000 to an online fundraising page said Tuesday that all the money is gone. Johnny Bobbitt's attorney, Chris Fallon, said he learned to his surprise that the cash was gone during a call with the lawyers for Kate McClure and Mark D'Amico. Shocked, shocked, Fallon said when he heard the words. They raised this money to help Johnny get money for food. McClure and D'Amico are the couple accused in a lawsuit brought by Bobbitt of mismanaging donations raised for him through GoFundMe. The couple deny the claims in the suit, saying they're wary of giving Bobbitt large sums because they fear he will buy drugs. McClure and D'Amico's attorney, Ernest Badway, nice name, Badway, told the Associated Press they have no comment. The couple have repeatedly denied any wrongdoing or misusing any of the money. Well, then where did it go? D'Amico said D'Amico told the Philadelphia Inquirer he spent $500 of the GoFundMe money to gamble because he didn't have his casino card one night. But he said he repaid it out of the winnings. Let me just tell you something. If that's the name of that tune, kiss it goodbye. How do you spend that kind of money? How do you spend $400,000? Anyway, so that story's in the news. It just when you think that it can't get worse, it does. Horrible story. People react as Americans always react. And then what happens? And then somebody steals the money that said they were going to help. Okay, that story's too crazy. If we're going to make up stories, let's at least make up appropriate stories. The Secretary of Defense is in the news, as is the White House Chief of Staff. Headline, Mattis calls revelations about Trump in Woodward's new book, Fiction. The Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, on Tuesday pushed back hard against a new book containing shocking revelations about how President Donald Trump has allegedly operated and how his most senior aides reportedly have very little respect for him, allegations that have immediately raised questions about how long some of his advisors would continue to serve. So Bob Woodward wrote a book entitled Fear, Trump in the White House. Trump allegedly called for the assassination of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad after the 2019 chemical strike. Trump called Mattis and said he wanted to assassinate the dictator, according to a passage from the book, which will be released on September 11th. Quote, let's fucking kill him. Let's go in. Let's kill the fucking lot of them, Trump said, according to Woodward. Mattis told the president that he would get right on it. But after hanging the phone up, he told the senior aide, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to be much more measured. Mattis, who was traveling in India when the news story broke, issued a statement challenging that passage and others, including one where he allegedly said Trump acted like and had the understanding of a fifth or sixth grader. when Mattis was trying to explain to him the importance of keeping U.S. troops on the Korean Peninsula. Quote from Mattis's statement, "The contemptuous words about the president attributed to me in Woodward's book were never uttered by me or in my presence," Mattis said in the statement. "While I generally enjoy reading fiction, this is uniquely Washington brand of fiction, brand of literature, and his anonymous sources do not lend any credibility." Mattis went on to cite his work to date with Trump to improve military readiness, strike the Islamic State, and get NATO allies to contribute more to defense. Mattis is not the only official who has allegedly attacked Trump intellect or decision-making. Retired Marine Corps General John Kelly, the White House Chief of Staff, is quoted as saying the president is an idiot and that it's the worst job he's ever had. Kelly issued a similar denial through the White House. "The idea I ever called the president an idiot is not true," Kelly said in a statement. He called the passage in the book, quote, "another pathetic attempt to smear people close to President Trump and distract from the administration's many successes." The Secretary of Defense went on, "In serving in his administration, the idea that I would show contempt for the elected commander-in-chief, President Trump, or tolerate disrespect to the office of the president from within our Defense Department is a product of someone's rich imagination." And I can tell you, honestly, I can tell you that for a fact. And, you know, here's the other thing that's laughable. To think that these guys would click off safe in front of people that weren't lifelong friends, who were senior aides or some stuff, is absolute fantasy. They're no strangers to this kind of stuff. They've watched it for decades, and they're not stupid men. So again, when I saw that, look, you don't think Jim Mattis and John Kelly know that every word that comes out of their mouth is scrutinized to a degree that, you know, isn't even thought about by most of us? Hey, you don't get to where they get by being stupid, okay? It's an amazing story. So they don't do that. Again, Alex Hollings talked about this yesterday, but it's in the news. White House has warned Syria again against the use of chemical weapons. And what this is they're watching statements made by Russia and statements by Syria. And when they've used chemical weapons is when they bumped into things that have cost them a lot of the military, a lot of soldiers, Syrian soldiers killed. And what they've done is they then back off and they've used chemical weapons. So there's been evidently statements made by both Russia and Syria, and Alex quoted them yesterday. And in the run-up to this, and the White House preemptively said, don't do it. Don't do it. One more story real quick, and then we'll take a break, and then you'll hear the interview with my sister. A Marine killed in World War II was identified here recently. And it's from the Associated Press. The Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency announced on Tuesday that Marine Corps Sergeant Millard Odom from Batesville, Arkansas, was officially identified August 20th through DNA, dental and anthropological analysis, and circumstantial and material evidence. Odom was 26 when he was killed in the Battle of Bashio Island and was buried there with approximately 1,000 Marines and sailors. So for his family, his extended family, closure from World War II. So anyway, that's a good thing. We'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear an interview with my sister. And at the end of it, don't touch that dial. There'll be more is coming after that. So don't go away.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.